بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes he begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a man giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, sisters, we will have class number 4 of the series of classes of the purification of the heart. And today, inshallah, we will learn about the characteristics of the healthy heart. Inshallah, today, sisters, we will learn about these characteristics so that we can compare these characteristics with the characteristics of the diseased hearts, which we will learn about, inshallah, in the following classes. In the Quran, Allah mentions the characteristics of the believers who have the healthy hearts in many verses of the Quran. Inshallah, we will learn these verses of the Quran and we will learn these characteristics so that, inshallah, everyone will try to have them. Alaykum as-salam. So actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the characteristics of the believing hearts in the following verses of the Quran. I will mention the verses of the Quran, then I will inshallah explain to you the meaning of every verse so that we will be aware about these characteristics. Inshallah, I will mention to you, sister, the verses of the Quran, all of them, and then we will learn one by one, inshallah. The first verses of the Quran is Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, from verse 2 to 5, Surah number 8, from verse 2 to 4, Surah number 9, verse number 71, Surah number 23, from verse 1 to verse 11, Surah number 23, from verse 15 to 16, Surah number 42, from verse 36 to 40, Surah number 40, Surah number 40, verse number 15. Inshallah, today we will learn about, we will start with Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2. We will, inshallah, learn from verse 2 to verse 5 about the characteristics of the healthy believing heart. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Dhalika al-kitab la rayba fihi. هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is the book whereof there is no doubt, a guidance to those who are al-muttaqun, who believe in the ghayb and perform as-salat and spend out of what we have provided for them, and who believe in that which has been sent down to you, and in that which was sent down before you. And they believe with certainty in the hereafter. They are on guidance from their Lord, and they are the successful.
Okay. Sister, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us the characteristics of the healthy believing hearts, okay? But at the beginning, I need to clarify to you that this is Surah Al-Baqarah. This is the longest surah of the Quran, okay, the longest chapter. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the chapter after Surah Al-Fatiha. Okay, in this chapter of the Quran, Allah started with, you know, some of the letters which only Allah knows its meaning. Okay, then in verse number 2, Allah is clarifying a rule that the Quran is the book where there is no doubt about it. Okay, and it is a guidance for the pious. So you must realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started Surah Al-Baqarah with the rule that the Quran is the book where there is no doubt about it. Okay? This is a very important fact to start your relation with the Quran, so that you will believe in all the rules of the Quran and you will follow all the rules of the Quran and never to have a doubt about the rules of the Quran. Okay, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the characteristics of the healthy believing hearts. Characteristics of the healthy hearts verses of the Quran are, number one, they believe in what lies beyond the reach of human perception, which we can call it the unseen. So they believe in the unseen. This is number one. Number two, they observe the prayer. Number two, they give the zakat, which is the charity. Number four, they believe in what had been revealed to Prophet Muhammad and all the previous prophets. They believe in Allah's messengers. Number six, they are certain about the hereafter. This is number five. Number six, they follow their Lord guidance. So inshallah, sisters, we will try to learn in full details about the characteristics of the healthy hearts, so that if I don't have one of these characteristics, I will be sure that I have a disease in my heart, and I must inshallah try to get rid of that disease and to have all the characteristics of the healthy hearts, so that inshallah I will be from those whom we are the winners in this life and in the hereafter. And we will start with the first characteristic, which Allah mentioned as the first one, which is to believe in what lies beyond the reach of human perception. And actually, sisters, there is a very important point related to this belief. To believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Okay, our Lord, the only Lord whom we believe in His oneness. To believe in Him equals the belief in what lies beyond the reach of the human perception. Okay, because it is not possible for the human being to comprehend the nature of Allah. But when we believe in Allah, we recognize the results of His actions, but we cannot conceive His nature or what He works. This is a very important fact, sister, in Islam, about the belief in the unseen. None can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we believe in Him through His actions. So the basic belief in Islam related to the belief in oneness of Allah is related to the belief in what lies beyond the human perception, belief in the unseen. The unseen, which we are required to accept in order to have the true faith, includes other facts which are mentioned in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 285. Now we will learn, you know, about the unseen related to the belief in Islam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ana ar-rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbih. والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The messenger believes in what has been sent down to him from his Lord and the believers. Each one believes in Allah, His angels, His books, and His messengers. We make no distinction between one another of His messengers. And they say, "We hear and we obey. Your forgiveness, our Lord, and to you is the return."
So actually, sisters, the messengers, the books, the angels, the day of resurrection, the reckoning, the reward, and the punishment, all belong to the world beyond. We believe in all of this because Allah has told us about them. Okay? So you must, you know, all the time try to realize that I believe in the messengers, but they are, you know, beyond my perception. Okay? In the angels, beyond my perception. The day of judgment, reckoning, you know, the paradise, the hellfire, all of these are belonging to the unseen. Okay? In reality, man is surrounded by the unseen in every direction. Now I will clarify to you, you know, sisters, how we are surrounded by the unseen from all the direction, so that I realize why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started in Surah Al-Baqarah, okay, for the believers and for the pious, that the most important characteristic is to believe in the unseen. Okay? Number one, we in our life, part of our present, part of the past, part of the future is related to the unseen. For example, now we are sitting in the masjid, alhamdulillah, okay, and reciting the Quran. It is beyond our perception what is going on in the sky. Maybe there is a snow is collecting, okay, and it will come down very soon, and maybe after 1 hour there will be a great disaster in Houston or in other area. You are just having the knowledge of what you are living in, okay, but you don't, even in the present time, I don't have the knowledge of what is going on, okay, outside this room, or the knowledge which I can have it through the television or through the phone, okay, but other than this, I will just actually, sisters, again, must realize that you are only aware of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you, you know, to realize. But other than this, there are many issues going on in the present time, but it is beyond our perception. Okay, it is part of the unseen. As I clarified for you about the weather, you know, about the people whom they are living far away, about many issues. Also, sisters, a very important point related to the unseen is the future. Okay, every one of us is trying to prepare for the future through the hard work, through collecting of the wealth, but we are not sure we will be alive or not, and we will be healthy or not. When you ask any sister, what are your plans for the future? I will tell you, sister, inshallah, when I will be 60, inshallah, I will be, inshallah, living in Houston. I will be, inshallah, giving the classes. Inshallah, my daughter will be so and so and so on. But someone will come and tell me, sister Mona, the future is beyond your perception. You don't know you will be alive or not. You don't know you will be healthy or not. You don't know your kids will be alive or not. You don't know anything. And this is a very important point, sister, regarding planning for the future. You must realize that none knows the future except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that inshallah Allah will bestow His mercy on us, so that inshallah we can have a good future. But we cannot keep on planning for the future while the future is beyond our perception. Also, there is a very important point about the unseen, and there are some questions which I will ask you now, sister, so that you can realize that we don't know anything about the unseen. It is all to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of that, we must believe in the unseen. We must believe of what Allah said to us about it. The first question is, what does man know about the origin of this universe, its existence, nature and motion? We have some knowledge from the books of the scientists, from the books of the history, but none is sure of the reality of this knowledge. The second question is, what does man know about life and its cycles? The third question is, what man know about himself regarding, for example, his spirit? Okay, when you tell me, Sister Mona, do you know yourself? I tell you, to tell you the truth, I don't know myself. Allah knows myself more than me. Okay, because sometimes, you know, for example, suppose I become angry, okay, and I expect that, you know, in that situation or in that event, I will, you know, act in this manner. Then I notice that I acted in a totally different manner. Then I tell to myself, this is not Mona. What happened? I am not familiar with this part of my personality, of my heart, of my spirit, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us this fact in surah number 17, verse number 85, so that, sisters, you realize that even your spirit and your heart, we don't have the knowledge about it. It is beyond our perception. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويسألونك عن الروح قل الروح من أمر ربي وما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليلا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And they ask you concerning the ruh. Say, the ruh is one of the things, the knowledge of which is only with my Lord, and of knowledge you have been given only a little.
So again, sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us in the Quran that we don't know anything. The ruh is the spirit or the heart. We don't know anything about it. It is all to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, I need to clarify to you a very important fact, because I was a pediatrician, you know, and I realized that the scientists, as they try to know, they don't know anything, you know, because Allah is the one who has all the knowledge. We don't know about our spirits, and we don't know about our body. For example, suppose now I am a completely, from outside, I look as if I am a completely normal person, and actually this experience happened to me personally. And then I started to have severe pain in my right knee. And I went to the doctor, and the doctor did an x-ray, and he told me the x-ray is completely normal. So I am under the impression that my knee is normal. But the pain was increasing and increasing. Still, I don't know what is going on in my knee. Then, again, the doctor tried to know until he did an MRI. When he did an MRI, this is, you know, a very specific, you know, procedure. He discovered that, for example, you know, I am clarifying to you that the cartilage in my right knee is completely lost, but the cartilage in my left knee is there. The problem is that I have the severe pain now in my left knee, where the cartilage is there, where my knee is completely normal according to medicine. My right knee, the doctor is very surprised. This is the knee where there is no cartilage, and I don't have any pain. And the doctor, you know, this is a very sophisticated, you know, orthopedic surgeon. He is telling me, I don't know what is going on, why this is happening. You know, this is the orthopedic surgeon who is, you know, graduated from Yale University. He is one of the best orthopedic surgeons in Houston. He is telling me, both your knees are a very big question mark for him. You see, so this is a clarification, sister, that we don't know. We don't know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made one of the knees to lose all the cartilage and not to cause pain, and the other one is completely normal and to be painful all the time. I know one sister whom she was completely normal, and one day, you know, she started to have some pain in her back, and they discovered that she had one kidney for 40 years. Even she doesn't know that she had one kidney. You know, I know a professor in medical school. He is one of the best. He was completely normal until the age of 35. Then he started to have, you know, a common cold and flu and cough. And they discovered that he had one lung. Even one lung, you know, up to the age of 35, and he doesn't know about himself. So you must realize that we are surrounded by the unseen, and because of that, we must depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who has all the knowledge. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the characteristics of the belief of what lies beyond the human perception is number one of the characteristics of the healthy hearts. I am not supposed to have a doubt about what is the proof that Allah is the one? What is the proof about the angel? What is the proof about the jinn? What is the proof about the spirit? You are not a believer. When you have a doubt related to what lies beyond the human perception, you are not a believer in the oneness of Allah, and you must be all the time away from these ideas completely, sister. When someone will come and try to question you about this issue or to discuss with you this issue related to what lies beyond the human perception, you must answer her by saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it very clear that the first characteristics of the believer is to believe in what lies beyond the human perception, the unseen, with no questions. Don't ask about this, because, you know, this will make you one of having one of the worst diseases of the heart, which is the doubt. And when there is doubt, there will be never a belief. Okay. Inshallah, sisters, we all believe in the unseen, in all what lies beyond our perception. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, all the time to be, you know, the true believers, whom they have the healthy heart, whom they are far away from the doubt related to any of the unseen. Okay, the second characteristic of the healthy heart, sister, is to observe the prayer. I want you to look here, sister, and I want you to notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arranged for us these characteristics. So, number one is to believe in what lies beyond the human perception. Okay, number two, sisters, is to observe the prayer. And alhamdulillah, this is very good for me, okay, to talk with you again, sisters, about the prayer. Okay, prayer in Arabic is salat. Okay, salat, the Arabic word means a connection. Okay, number one, sister, you must know, and actually as Muslims, it is better to call it a salat. Okay, not to say prayer. Okay, so I want you to learn these words. You know, we are attending the classes every week. So there are some words in Islam, in Arabic. It is better you learn it so that when you read the Quran, you will know it. Okay, so I want you always to say as-salah. Okay, because when you will say as-salah, this is related to as-salah, which is the connection. Okay, number one, so I will use the word salah instead of the word prayer. Number one, as-salah is one of the five pillars of Islam. Okay, there are five pillars of Islam, which Islam is built on. Okay, the second, number one is La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah al-Shahada, and number two is to observe as-salah. Okay, so you must know, sisters. So sisters, you must all believe that the as-salah is the link between the Lord of the heavens and the earth and your heart. Okay, don't come to the prayer, okay, with your body. No, you must come to the prayer with your heart, because the prayer is the cure for the heart. Because as-salah is the link between my heart and who? Okay, it is the link between my heart, okay, I am a handful of dust, okay, and the Lord of the heavens and the earth. You must all the time, sisters, feel that this is the best meeting ever in life. Me, handful of dust, I will meet the Lord of the heavens and the earth. This is how we have to feel the importance of the prayer. And through this link, okay, you will connect with Him. Okay, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only power in this life. Allah is the only will. Allah is the only planner. Allah is the source of guidance. Allah is the most merciful. Allah is the one who will shower me with His mercy in this life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His mercy, inshallah, will inshallah make the paradise our final destination. Okay? So this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. So through as-salah, me, the handful of dust, I am connected with the source of all the power, and I am connected with the source of the light on the heavens and the earth. All the light on the heavens and the earth is related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Me, nothing, handful of dust, through this salah, I am connected with Him. So, sister, this is how you have to feel the as-salah. You have to appreciate it. You have to love it. Because today, if I want to meet the head of any company, or the president, or whatever of any company, he will tell me you have to have an appointment with my secretary, and you have to call before the appointment, and I will give you, for example, 5 minutes only. Okay, but when I want me, the handful of dust, to meet the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the one who controls everything, I can meet Him at any time. You know, sisters, and this is... So, alhamdulillah, through this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sisters, you will be connected with the source of guidance, the source of tranquility, the source of mental peace, and the source of the life of your heart. You will never have a life in your heart if you are not performing as-salah as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to perform it. And again, sisters, I want you to know a very important fact. Allah is not in need of anyone. Allah is not in need of meeting with any of His slaves. We are the one whom we are in need to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be connected with Him through our hearts. Because when I will be connected with Him, I will be the one to take. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not taking anything from any of His slaves. Okay? So I have to be the one to appreciate as-salah and to love as-salah. Okay? And again, I need to clarify that during al-sujood or the prostration, okay, you are in the closest position with the Lord of the heavens and the earth. And out of His mercy, He commanded us while we are down, okay, to call on Him with our dua and with our supplication. So I want you sisters to feel this position with your heart. I am down. I am helpless. I have a lot of problems. I don't have any power. Okay? And the most merciful, all the power is so close to me and telling me, Mona, ask me for everything. And inshallah, I will answer you. So I want you sisters to appreciate the as-salah because actually it is the medicine for all, you know, the spiritual illnesses. It is as-salah because when you will feel the close contact that you are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately, you know, sisters, and this is how you can check your prayer. When you are down and very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your heart is connected with Him, okay, immediately you will feel that you are relieved from all the problems, whatever worry, sadness, problems, disasters, hardships I have, and I mention it to Him. All of them I mentioned to Allah. Oh Allah, this and this is causing for me troubles. Oh Allah, I am worried about so and so. Oh Allah, so and so, I am in a good shape with, but so everything you mentioned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that He is the only power and you are close to Him immediately, sisters. And this is the mercy of the prayer. Okay, immediately Allah will receive your complaint and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send for you a message of reassurance, of tranquility. You are not alone. I will help you. There is an outlet. Everything will be alright. Don't worry. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to the hearts which come to Him in the salah with the belief that you are the only one, I only have you, and I am sure that you will help me and take care of me. And because of that, this is the second characteristic of the healthy believing hearts, is that to observe and to perform the prayer. And again, sisters, according to the book of prayer which we have, prayer is not just to stand and to prostrate. No, prayer is an act of the heart. It is your heart that is praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is your heart that it is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the prayer which feeds the heart with the love and fear of Allah. I love Allah when I pray to Him and I fear Him because I feel that He is the only power in this life. Prayer is an essential element in the building of the believer character and shaping his concepts, feeling and behavior. When you tell me, Sister Mona, for example now, the class is about to finish, for example, at 1 o'clock, so why you always try to finish it before time? You don't give the full time to the class. For example, this is a sign that I don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom I will meet after 10 minutes in the prayer. If I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom I will meet Him after 10 minutes, whatever trust I have in this world, I will fulfill it in the best shape with everyone. And when you tell me, Sister Mona, for example, not Sister Mona, for example, Regina is the role model. When we ask Regina, Regina, why you are treating your husband and living your marriage as an act of worship? Why with your kids? She will answer you, because I meet the Lord in the prayer. I don't want Him to be angry with me. I only have Him in my life. So I want Him to be pleased with me all the time. He commanded me to live my life as an act of worship. I am doing all of this because I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sister. This is how now her concepts and her values are all according pointing to her relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in as-salat. And because of that, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he has any problem or there is any issue in his life, he will say, I want to pray. Why he wants to pray? Because he wants to meet, perform a salah, because he wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he believes that only Allah can take the decision. Only Allah can make the change. Only Allah, according to the word be, it will be. Now I am in a problem, for example now, okay, and I don't have a house to return to, okay, for example. Dhuhr prayer comes, I call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the full belief that when he will say be, it will be, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make me, after finishing this prayer, to have a phone call, inshallah, and someone will tell me, Sister Mona, most welcome in that place. There must be, inshallah, an outlet. That outlet will come to you according to your sincerity in the belief in Allah, which you show it to him in your prayers and your salat. The third characteristic of the believer hearts, sisters, according to our, according to our schedule, okay, is to give a zakat. Okay, again, a zakat is an Arabic word. Okay, it is equal to charity. Okay, I want you also to know the word a zakat. So today, inshallah, you learn the word as-salah and the word a zakat. Okay, again, sisters, there is a very important fact. You know, sisters, when you will become close to the Quran, you will love the Quran, because the Quran is the book of the rules. And the best strategy in life is to live life according to the rules of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. I am sure of these rules. This is how you have to handle the Quran, the book of the rules. Regarding az-zakah and charity, the first rule is that Allah is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Number two, Allah is the owner of the heavens and the earth. All what the people have are just a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you must spend according to the rules of the owner. This is the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the wealth, all the wealth on the earth. Okay? So when you have this belief that whatever I have is just a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will lose it. Okay, and it is not for me forever. Either Allah will take it back, or I will die and everything will be taken from me. None has the ownership in this worldly life except Allah, Allah the rich. As Allah said in the Quran, Allah is the rich and all the human beings are poor because they don't own anything. Again and again, sisters, you don't own your spirit because one day you will die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take your spirit and we will be buried and I will be just handful of dust. Okay, so I must believe that whatever I have in this worldly life is a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I notice that there is a sister whom she is in need, I will not wait until she will come and tell me so and so. No, I will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the trust. This is not my money, this is not my wealth, this is Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving this for me as a test. I have to feel the mercy and the sympathy for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them to be needy or poor. Because also this is a part of their test in the worldly life. To be needy or poor doesn't mean that Allah doesn't like you or Allah is making your life as a hardship. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making for every one of us many questions in the test of the worldly life. Some people, their question is that they are poor. Some people, their question is that they are not healthy, or they are not educated, or she is not beautiful, or she will not be married, or she will not have kids. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who knows about the questions of the test of every one of us. So when I realize all of this, and I realize that I don't own anything, it will be very easy for me to give. Because I am not giving anything which I own. Because the money is not very close to my spirit. Because it is not mine. It is belonging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to be a very actually logic believer. This is not my wealth. This is Allah's wealth. So if I am a true believer, in the rules of the Quran to give for the sake of Allah, and if I am a logic believer that one day I will lose everything, okay, so I must try to use this money, okay, to give me good deeds, to get the reward. So I will love to give, you know, that charity or the zakat. And again, sister, there is hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about two men. One of them is having a lot of wealth and he is spending for the sake of Allah, and Allah will give him a great reward. And the other one doesn't have wealth, but he had the intention that, oh Allah, if I have the wealth, I will spend it for your sake, and he will have the same reward. Even he doesn't have any money. So all the time, be that human being, tell to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, I am looking for millions and millions of dollars to spend it for your sake. You will have all the reward for that millions of dollars. All the time, sisters, a very important point from life, okay? Money or wealth is not up to its account. It is up to the blessings of Allah regarding this amount of wealth. For example, when Regina lost all her gold, yes, in 2 hours, okay? So what is the meaning of this? It was a trust with Regina. And Regina lost in 1 second, okay? So long she is a believer that Allah is the owner, she will not cry for the rest of her life regarding this gold, okay, because there are people whom actually they say we are believers, but when Allah put them in the test, they always fail, okay? Someone whom she is not a true believer in Allah, and she feels that this is my own gold, I will keep it very close to my heart day and night, because she is not a believer that Allah is the owner of everything. If her gold will be stolen, as it happens to Regina, she will keep on crying the rest of her life. She will waste all her life. She will actually send a message to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that she is not a believer that he is the owner of everything. She is not a believer that life is a trust. Even my life is a trust. Allah can take it in any minute. What about these materialistic issues? Sister, this is the healthy heart. This is the believing heart. When you tell me, Sister Mona, there is a very poor sister and she's in great need, do you have anything? I tell you, no, I have my ring. Take my ring and sell it and give it to her. Okay? Then you tell me your ring. I tell you, yes, my ring. If I give it to her today, or now, for example, for the sake of Allah, because inshallah, I hope I have the healthy heart, maybe after 5 minutes, I will die in a car accident. And this, what I give for the sake of Allah, was the reason for me, inshallah, to be in the paradise. Who knows? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is planning everything so that everyone will clarify her reality. I can come to the class every day and say, I'm very generous, I'm very generous, I'm very generous. Words and talks, that's it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put me in the test. Okay, so that I will prove my reality, so that on the day of judgment, I cannot say to Allah, I was very generous, I never give anything, but I am just saying words. So we must believe in these sisters. Wealth or money is not up to its amount. There are many people whom they have a lot of wealth, and I think I mentioned to you this story, this quick story. One man came to a scholar, and so one man came to the scholar and he told him, today I am very happy. So the scholar asked him, why you are very happy? He told him, today I collected the amount of money which I was looking forward to collect it all my life. Today I collected it. So the scholar asked him, are you sure that you have time in your life to spend all what you collect? This is the problem. You collect the wealth, but you are not sure that you still have time in your life to spend that amount of money. So because of that, sisters, be sure all the time we are not owner of anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of everything. And again, there are many people whom they have millions of dollars and they are looking for one day to be healthy. There are many people whom they have illnesses, long life illnesses, okay? And those people are very rich and they are calling on Allah to take all their wealth and to give them their health even for 1 year. You know, I was working, you know, in the hospital, and I saw all of this, and part of my deep belief in the oneness of Allah is what I live in the hospitals and what I realize through coming close to the sick people and the ill people. There are some kids whom when they are born, they are blind, or they are deaf, or they are mute, and their mothers actually are having a hardship through that kids. And when actually I was working in one of the Gulf areas, and I was in the clinic, neurology clinic, and a very rich woman, she came with her son, and he's a blind, and he was 12 years old, and she told me, sister or doctor, okay, what do you think of my son? He is born blind, and he will be blind all his life. I told her, you are coming to this clinic every year. Okay, they give her appointment every year just for checkup, you know, because there is no treatment. She told me, but you know, I am with my son for 12 years, trying to teach him, trying to take care of him. You can't imagine how difficult is my life, you know, doctor. I wish that I am not so rich, and I wish that my son can have light in his eyes. You see, sister, so let us appreciate the blessings of Allah, and let us evaluate life correctly. Wealth is not belonging to anyone. Wealth is belonging only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to you, and try to utilize it according to the, or to use it according to the rules of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that those whom they spend their zakah for according to the rules of Allah are having healthy hearts. Unfortunately, there are many Muslims whom they are not paying the zakat, in spite of the fact is that zakat is one of the pillars of Islam. Okay, this is actually about the zakat, which you must pay it. Okay, which is 2.5% of every $100 which you keep it in the bank for 1 year. Other than zakat, there is something called volunteer donations. Okay, also sisters, when you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of everything, okay, you will have the compassion and the feeling of humanity in your heart. Okay, you will not be the person whom they feel that I want to be the richest person. I want to feel that Regina can never buy a car like my car. I don't want Regina to have the dress like my dress, like my home, to be my neighbor. I will never accept it at all. Those sisters are not having any healthy hearts. You have to know this reality. They are having sick hearts, in spite of the fact they are very rich. They have everything, but they are not enjoying the blessings. Their hearts are not clean. Their hearts are all the time in the feeling of, I want to be the best of the best. In spite of the fact in this life, the best are the true believers in the oneness of Allah. The fourth characteristic of the believer heart is to believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his message and in the messengers before him. And actually this is part of the belief in Islam, is to believe in all the messengers. The fifth characteristic of the believer heart is to be certain of the hereafter. And the belief of the hereafter, sisters, has a lot of blessings, and this is again, sisters, very important. You know, sisters, you must believe that in this life, okay, we are living together. I am living with my family, my husband, my kids. I have my friends. I have my relatives. But when I will die alone. When I will stand in front of Allah on the day of resurrection, I will stand alone. So I must be sure of my belief in the hereafter, because this is my responsibility regarding myself. Okay? To believe in the hereafter, sister, will link the present life with the life to come. It will link the beginning with the end. So you never believe in the theory that the worldly life is the only life, so let us enjoy it and forget about all the rules of Allah. There are many people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about their hearts, but when you tell her, sister, for the sake of Allah, try to become close to Allah, try to have good manners, try to be, you know, to have some knowledge of the Quran, she will tell you, sister, we have only one life. If someone will say or believe or have doubt about the hereafter, this is against the true believer in, you know, in Islam, true belief in Islam, true faith in Islam. Okay? Again and again, sister, belief in the hereafter has a lot of blessings. One of them is that it links the deed with the reward. Okay? So it comforts the believer. It gives me the feeling that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me the reward under any circumstances. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that, for example, I am a wife. Okay? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows my husband is not the ideal husband, for example. Okay? And every sister is telling me, forget about him. If he is not nice, don't be nice. If he is not caring, don't be caring. You know, all what the people are saying in this life. Okay? And then she will tell me, Sister Mona, you have only one life. Divorce him, marry another one, enjoy life. I will tell her, Sister, I believe in the hereafter. I believe that this life is not the end. I believe that this life is the beginning. I believe that whatever good deed I do in this life, I will have its reward. If I don't have it in this life, inshallah, I am sure that I will have it in the other life. Having my reward in the other life is more better than having my reward in this life. Because this life will end at any time. But the other life is eternal. The other life is the paradise. The other life is with the believer. The other life is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you believe in the hereafter, this will help you all the time to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To do the good deeds, not only related to Allah. You will live your life as an act of worship. Again and again, sister, you will be the best human being on the earth. You will be the best regarding your heart, and you will be the best regarding your manners, values, and deeds. Why? Because you never look for the reward from any human being. And you are not in a hurry to have the reward. You see, I am nice with Regina. Regina is not nice with me today. Forget about Regina. And actually, you notice this in life. There are some people whom they change their friends every 3 years. Okay? And when you tell her, Sister, why you are changing your friends? I discovered that they are not good. Every 3 years, she will discover that people are not good. Because when she had the friendship, it was not for the sake of Allah. It was for the sake of the benefit. Okay? And so long that they are not giving her the reward quickly, okay, she will forget about them. Okay? So this means that, sister, actually, this is not a belief in the hereafter. When I believe in the hereafter, all my deeds are for the sake of Allah, and the reward is from Allah. Okay, I love Regina and everything. She is my closest sister. Whether Regina liked me or not, nice to me or not, this was not in my equation. My equation was between me and Allah. Because I believe that the reward has to come only from the one who has the power and the will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if I have a different point with Regina, or I was in need of Regina, then Regina disappeared and she didn't help me. Then she showed up after one time, I will run to Regina and kiss Regina and welcome Regina. Not for Regina, or for Daniel, or for Philia, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because I have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only one in my equation. I am his servant, I am his slave, and I am looking for him to be pleased with me. This is the goal of my life. I am intelligent, I am logic, I understand, I am a true believer, I have a healthy heart. If we all live with this theory, we will love each other. We will support each other. We will take care of each other. We will be the best community. And sister, this is the reality of Islam. In Islam, the true believer must live their life as an act of worship, never to look for a reward from any human being. My husband, my kids, my parents, none of them. Because I believe that human beings cannot give a reward. Human beings are just a handful of dust. They are living in the test. So this is how, sisters, you must believe in the hereafter. So when you tell me, Sister Mona, everyone you take care of, they are not taking care of you. Now you are sick and so and so. I tell you, no, sister. No, sister, your equation is wrong. My equation is right. I was doing all of this for the sake of Allah. Allah took care of me. In my illness, took care of me. In my belief, Allah supported me during the hardship so that I don't become far away from Him when I notice that everyone is not helping me. I never lose my relation and my trust and my reassurance that Allah is with me all the time. This is the belief in the hereafter, sister. You are sure 100% that every good deed, every good word, every smile, whatever you do for the sake of Allah, inshallah, you will be rewarded for it. Also, there is a very important point regarding the belief in the hereafter. When you believe in the hereafter, you will be a believer having patience, having a sabr. Okay? So, when I take care of my kids, and my kids are not treating me in a good way, I will be patient with them, because my reward will come in the hereafter. When I am good with my husband, and he is not, I will be very patient. I will be accepting this life. When you come and tell me, Sister Mona, they are treating you in this way again and again, sister, I tell you, I am very patient. I will never change. You tell me why and how. I tell you because of the hereafter. The reward is, I see the reward now. I see the paradise. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not looking for anything in this worldly life. So sisters, again and again, the belief in the hereafter is one of the greatest blessings. Try, inshallah, to have this belief very clear for you, because it will help you all the time to forget about the people, to forget about they are good or bad, to forget about anyone in this worldly life. You will be all the time sure of the reward of the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, sisters? So, inshallah, now we will learn about the characteristics of the believer's heart in Surah number 9, Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 70. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة ويطيعون الله ورسوله أولئك سيرحمهم الله إن الله عزيز حكيم.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The believers, men and women, are awliya of one another. They enjoin al-maruf and forbid from al-munkar. They perform as-salat and give the zakat and obey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will have His mercy on them. Surely Allah is Almighty, All-Wise.
Okay, sister. So, now, inshallah, the characters of the believer's hearts which are mentioned in this verse of the Quran is that, number one, they help and support each other. Number two, they enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. Number three, they attend to the prayers, as-salah. Number four, they pay their zakat. Number five, they obey Allah and His Messenger. Inshallah, now we will learn in detail about the first and the second characteristics, because we already learned about the rest of them. Regarding the first characteristic, which is that the believers are helpers and supporters of one another. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the believer to the believer is just like a building, its parts support each other. You know, when you have a building, you know, when you have a building, you will notice that the parts of the building are attached to each other. You know, as I am making my hand like this, you know. So this has to be actually the relation of the believers, you know. And those whom they have the believing hearts, they must have this feeling that me and my sister and the other sister, irrespective of her race, irrespective of her color, irrespective of her wealth, we are all sisters and we are all supporting each other. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the example of the believers in the compassion and mercy have for each other is the example of one body. If a part of it falls ill, the rest of the body suffers filled with fever and sleeplessness. Again, sister, this is a very important example which we need to know its meaning. Now, if I am a body, one body, okay, and I have fever, okay, and I am ill, okay, so I will have fever, part of my body will have fever, my head will have fever, and then I will not be able to sleep because I have pain all over my body. So the believers must be like one body. What is the meaning of this? If there is illness, or a problem regarding one of them, the rest of the body will feel the problem. Okay, if we are all one body, and for example, I am sick, okay, it is supposed that when you meet Regina, you tell her, how are you, Regina? She will tell you, I'm not in a good shape. Why, Regina? Because Sister Mona is sick. Sister, this be the community of the believers, a community based on friendship and mutual care. This friendship motivates the believer to enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong, which requires close ties within the community and true cooperation. Actually, I will clarify to you a very important point, which may be, you know, it is a little bit deep, but I am sure, inshallah, you will understand it. Allah, in verse number 71, he mentioned that the first character of the believer is that they help and support each other. When we will help and support each other, we will love each other. Then we will have the same rules. All of us will be looking for obedience of Allah, because through the obedience of Allah, through the rules of Allah, okay, Allah commanded us to love each other. Okay, you will love Allah because Allah commanded us to love each other. Okay, so when we will help each other and support each other, we will be close to each other and we will have the same values. So if Regina will come one day and notice that I am not praying, okay, she will come because we are close to each other and we support each other, okay, and we help each other, and because we have the same goal, because we are all one community, it will be very simple for her to come and tell me, Sister Mona, I love you. You are, you know, very close to me. I want you to return to pray again. I will accept it from Regina because we love each other, we support each other, we have the same goal. But when we are not loving each other, and when we are against each other, okay, as it is happening, and then Regina will come to me and tell me, Sister Mona, for the sake of Allah, why you are not praying? I will tell her, what? What are you saying to me? Whom are you? You are a reverse sister. You just become a Muslim. You are nothing. I am the born Muslim. I am everything. This is very bad. You did a very big mistake, and it will be a very big fight. And this is why now no one is enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong. Why? Because the characteristic number one is not there. If we have the characteristic number one, we can apply the characteristic number two. But because number one is not there, number two is not around. You know, sister, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran is putting every word in its place. Number one, we must be helpers and supporters, so that number two, we can enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil. You see? So actually, now I will clarify to you about to forbid what is evil and to actually to enjoy what is right. We will learn now from the Quran, from Surah number 3, verse 104, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Waltakum minkum ummatun yad'una ila al-khayri wa ya'muruna bil ma'rufi wa yanhawna 'anil munkar wa ulaika humul muflihun.
Bismillah ar-Rahman. Let there arise out of you a group of people inviting to all that is good, enjoining al-maruf and forbidding al-munkar. And it is they who are the successful.
So actually, sister, because of the time, inshallah, I will stop here. And inshallah, next week, we will continue to learn about the verses of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the characteristics of the believing hearts. Now, inshallah, we will make the dua and we pray to Allah, inshallah, to meet next week. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship.
O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.